So they're talking about the whole issue is, you know, we do what James tells us to do. We pray, we call the elders, we anoint with oil, and we do all of those things, but the person doesn't get well. And as we talked about last time, you know, one of the things we have to keep in mind is, you know, is James giving us a guarantee, a promise that if we do those things, the person's going to get well? He said, no, that's not the case, because, and we'll talk more about it as we go through this now, that you know, not everyone who Jesus even healed and raised from the dead and so forth are still, they're not alive today. We're going to die. We're, you know, it's going to happen again. And so we have to keep it all in this context and again keep in mind that, you know, what James is talking about primarily is prayer about a lot of things, including when people are sick. But again, when we come to this whole issue and question is, when a person doesn't get healed, and we put our faith in God, and we pray, and we ask God for the healing, and we do all things, and the healing doesn't take place, what's going on here? Okay, and the verse 15, sounds so promising, doesn't it? Okay, but yet we know, intellectually at least, we know that it doesn't always work out that way. And for reasons, as I just stated a moment ago, you know, people don't live forever. None of us is going to live forever. We may not die of this particular thing, but we're going to die of something. Okay?
When we're not in the moment, it's very easy for us to sit here and say, intellectually, we understand that God's not going to heal everybody every time. But when we get in the moment, and we get emotional, and we get wrapped up in what's happening, I've seen people go through extremes. And it turns into, God exists and will heal this person, or God doesn't exist and won't heal this person. Like, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, so, you're right.
We can't go through those extremes. It's not a simple either or. And it's like you said, verse 18 seems so promising that people hinge all of their faith and belief in God on whether or not he's going to give them healing in that moment. But we got to step back and I said, understand, people are going to die sometimes.
Exactly. And we need to understand, you know, there's a lot of things that we can include. And again, I think your point, too, is very well taken in that it's really easy when we're not going through stuff to intellectualize, well, yeah, that makes sense. But when we're in the midst of pain or a loved one is in the midst of pain, it's hard to get our heart lined up with our brain and to accept that. And that's where oftentimes promises when we pray and pray, knowing that God can heal, yet the healing doesn't happen. You know, how many times have you experienced that with a loved one? See, in fact, there are some times that not only does the healing not happen, but sometimes the person gets worse. Okay? And those kinds of things, you know, have a tendency sometimes to cause us to start questioning faith and so our prayers and the healing does take place, but when it doesn't, then it's really easy to get confused by that because the question comes in then, well, why does God heal sometimes and not other times? If he's going to heal this person, why did he heal this person? And And we end up coming up with then a lot of wrong answers to those kinds of questions. Okay, and so we need to understand some things about that so that we don't find ourselves, you know, losing our faith over these wrong answers or wrong conclusions. In other words, you know, if we go by the whole thing we talked about earlier, this whole idea of faith healing and so forth, faith healers tell us, you know, the problem is you just don't have enough faith. Well, then we start making conclusions that maybe there's something wrong with my faith because God's not answering my prayers. So maybe my prayers aren't good enough. Maybe if I prayed harder or I prayed longer, or maybe my prayers, is there something wrong that I'm not sincere enough? I feel like I'm sincere, but why isn't God answering my prayers concerning this? And those kinds of answers. Another one that people come to is this a situation that even God can't handle? No. In other words, is God perhaps, maybe he can't fix this, and is he kind of standing there wringing his hands over this situation, not knowing what to do with it? Because maybe it's too difficult for him. Is God really an all-powerful God, as we've been told? Or is he really perhaps not just that powerful and maybe I've been misled? You see, all those kinds of questions tend to haunt us, so to speak, and Satan certainly takes the opportunity when we're emotionally involved in a situation like that. Satan takes the opportunity to work his way in there and try to sabotage our faith and bring us into doubt. Am I really that bad of a person that God doesn't care about me? See how easy it is for us to come to those kinds of conclusions when God answers prayers for this person, but not for this person, and maybe not for me. We can't always answer why healing happens with some people and why it doesn't for others. I don't know. I stand here before you this morning, I don't have an answer for that. I'd like to give you a great theological, you know, reasoning and logic and all that kind of stuff, but I don't have it. But God's Word does offer us some things and some help to think about as we find those situations, we go through those situations, that can give us some encouragement to trust him when we're in those kinds of situations, even when that healing doesn't happen. Okay? Though we may not know what the answer is all the time, there's some things that we need to understand about what the answer isn't to these kinds of questions. Okay? We need to think biblically, first of all, about these things. And the reason we need to do that is because when we start thinking and focusing biblically on these kinds of questions, then that helps us to eliminate some of those wrong conclusions. Okay? And we really need to do that. You know, there's the faith healers. You know, one of the things about them is that, you know, they need an out. Okay? When you know, they claim that, you know, if you have faith and you make your donation, then healing will come. And that's a promise. When it doesn't come, they need an out. And so the easy out is, well, you know, apparently you just didn't have enough faith. And so that whole issue about whether a person's faith is strong enough, and maybe that's why God is not answering their prayers, that's not a biblical concept. say. Those who are involved in that kind of false teaching is basically what it is, okay? They'd rather put the guilt on other people than to admit that they're wrong and that they are false teachers, because they got something going. We need to understand that. So when you hear people talking about, well, you just don't have enough faith, or that person's having enough faith, we need to understand that that is not a biblical concept. The problem is that those ideas and the questions that we begin to ask ourselves that I mentioned a moment ago, those things are not taught in Scripture, like you got to have enough faith in order to be healed, you see, or that your prayers aren't good enough, or that God doesn't care about you. None of those things are true from a scriptural standpoint. In fact, the Scripture teaches the opposite on all of those points. And so we need to know that so that we can get rid of those wrong conclusions and wrong answers and replace them with the truth of what the Scriptures really teach. One of those wrong answers that we need to be able to dispel, and it is that it isn't true that God desires everyone to get well. That's one of the lies that people are telling today, and it's one that's been being told for who knows how long. This whole idea that God wants everyone to get well and to be well physically, and that Jesus came to banish all sickness from the earth. A lot of people are teaching that. You see? That God's desire is for everyone to be physically strong and healthy.
That's a common atheist tactic. They oversimplify. If God is good, why is the sickness? But it's a gross overstatement. It's not.
Well, we need to understand, first of all, if that were true, if God's desire was that there be no sickness, there'd be no sickness. Okay? I mean, quite plain and simple, there'd be no sickness. If that's really what God wanted, then that would be it. Okay? God can heal anything and everything just by His Word. And if that were the case, if that's what it was really all about, then we really missed the point. You see, God could have declared everyone free of illness and sickness just by His Word. Same way He created the universe. Jesus didn't have to come here and die on the cross for people to be physically healed. Is that correct?
I just truly believe as a Christian that God does things and He does all things well. We can't question why He doesn't do something. I heard a preacher preach one time that sometimes it's not for God to heal us. It's it's our time. It's our time, and we're gonna come to a demise. We're gonna die. We all gonna die. But it's not for Him to heal everybody. We must understand that God gives us an opportunity, and we need to make sure we accept what he brings us. We must show that we have to have some faith, we have to have some understanding that things don't always go the way we want. And we have to just continue to pray and ask God to help us understand that. There's some things we cannot, we don't have the answer for. It's up to God, it's His business. But we must accept whatever He brings our way. It helps us and it makes us, should make us stronger. Many times, it tests our faith. And we're going to be tested. But we can't give up on the faith. We can't give up on God. So I have to accept what God has, and some of this ain't not God doing. A lot of them my own doing. So I just have to accept whatever consequences I got because of it. And I can't be mad with him. I'm more disappointed in myself. And I just ask God to do it again, to lessen the pain. That's all I can do.
See, part of the thing is that we tend to think along the same lines as the Israelites. We tend to think physical rather than spiritual. And when we tend to focus on, you know, that God wants everybody to be healed and doesn't want people to be sick, then what we're doing is we're focusing on the physical and we're missing the primary plan and goal that God has. Is God concerned about our physical condition? Yeah, he is.
Sure.
Okay? But is God primarily concerned about our physical condition?
No.
No. He is primarily concerned about reconciliation, our spiritual condition.
Amen.
You see? And what we have to keep in mind is that God has a much higher plan than just physical healing. Alright? And we really need to understand it that way. You know, when we focus like the Israelites did on the physical, they missed the point of the kingdom. You see, that's why they crucified Jesus, because they're focusing on a physical world, a physical kingdom. You know, God has such a much higher plan than that.
Amen.
You see? And we've got to keep that in mind and understand that God's plan for us, you know, while it involves what we're going through physically in this life, that's not his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal is to reconcile his creation to himself. You see? And that being a spiritual reconciliation. Then we have to ask the question then, is we say, well, if that's the case, and God is all-powerful, why doesn't he just spiritually heal everybody? He could do that, couldn't he?
Yeah, we can do all the things.
No. No, we can't. You need to look closer. What do you mean, no, we can't? I thought God could do everything. He couldn't heal us spiritually any other way than the way he did. The reason I say that, because if he could, and him requiring his son to go to the cross after Jesus pleading with him over and over again to let this cup pass from me, was a cruel, cruel thing for God to do if he could do it some other way. The realization is he couldn't do it any other way. Why? Because it required blood. Because, you see, the whole issue spiritually is, as I mentioned a moment ago, it's reconciliation. Okay? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, okay, they disobeyed God. And that's when death came into the world, both physical and spiritual. And that's why we have both today.
That's right.
Okay? Though God cares about us physically, as we said a moment ago, his primary concern is for us spiritually to be reconciled to him. Okay? And it goes back to something we've talked about before, and I mentioned this to you before. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? If God is all-powerful again, why didn't he just say, okay, I can forgive everybody and everything's done, everybody's happy, everybody's reconciled? No, it doesn't work that way. Why? You remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? When they ate of the fruit of the tree, what happened? What was the first thing that happened? Their eyes were opened, and they realized what? They were naked. Mm-hmm. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and what did they do? They hid from him. Why? Because they were ashamed. They were afraid. Okay? Now, after God had pronounced the punishments and so forth on Adam and on Eve and on the serpent, what did he do? He clothed them with what? Animal skin. Animal. Where did the animal skins come from?
Animal.
Animals. What kind of animals? Yeah, one certainly. Okay? It's the first time that innocent blood was shed to cover man's sin. Okay? And that's why blood is required for reconciliation to take place. Right? Everybody with me on that?
Okay.
And that's why God sent his son to die. For his blood, the blood of an innocent lamb, to be shed to cover our sins. Right? So what we have to keep in mind is that, you know, sickness is not a free will choice issue. Okay? I mean, you know, how many of us when we're sick, I mean, do you choose to be in the condition you're in? Mike, do you choose to have cancer? Is that something you want to have? No, it's not. We don't choose, we don't desire to have those sicknesses, do we?
No.
Sometimes, as you said, those things are brought upon us by our own actions, as consequences of our own actions. But other times, that's life. But sin is always a choice.
Yeah.
Okay? We choose to sin. We choose to disobey God. Everybody with me on that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Why doesn't God just heal everybody spiritually? Because unlike physical healing, see, it's a choice that we have to make to return and to be reconciled to God. It is not something that God will force upon anyone. And if God just blankly, you know, forgave all sin and wrote it all off and said, okay, everybody's been, we would have no free will. So, and that would take away that which God gave to Adam and Eve, thus to all mankind in the garden, when he said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you do, you will absolutely die. You see? And that's why God, even though he is all powerful, can't just forgive everybody and wipe it all clean in that way. Because God requires that we choose to be reconcile in relationship with him.
The question that you asked earlier on, that was a question for a lot of times. And it's not a question. And with our limited wisdom and knowledge, we can think of easier ways to resolve the problem. Certainly, God conceived of those ways. If he didn't choose those ways, it wasn't because of something lacking on his part. It's us. It's because of us. If death was necessary to resolve sin, it's our fault. It's not because God didn't think of it. It's us. You know, and we have it so consistently in Scripture. You know, he chose this to help us understand how serious. If he used some other way, maybe it would have gone over our heads. Maybe we would have dismissed it as not a big deal. But because he chose this way, now we can look at it as not something that's, you know, just a minor kind of offense. You know, like you said, death happened to cover us. Not because God couldn't resolve it, it was us.
And by the way, what was Adam and Eve's attempt to cover themselves? Yeah, they sewed some baby together.
Yeah.
So if they did that, then why did God have to give them clothes of animal skins? I mean, they already covered themselves with fig leaves, right? So why the animal skins? Why have to do that? Because what? Well, that, but primarily because their attempts to cover their sin was not.
No, it wasn't.
So you need to understand that. We can't do it on our own. That's what they try to do. You say, if we're naked, let's cover ourselves. So, you know, get some big leaves sewn together, you know, and cover ourselves. And man's attempt to cover his nakedness from that time on has never been adequate. Though we keep trying. Blood had to be there. Because it wasn't adequate. It requires the blood. The covering that God had was what was needed. But in order to get that covering, something had to die. And so that goes back and answers that whole question issue. Again, if God is all powerful, you know, why can't he just, you know, heal everybody? Well, you know, I don't know. Well, if he's all powerful, why can't he heal everybody spiritually? If that's his primary goal, well, that's the answer to it. Because we have to choose to be healed spiritually in giving ourselves back to him. Another thing that I want you to think about here in all of this, and I'm just going to throw this out because, you know, you may or may not agree with me on this, okay? And that's fine. Okay? I throw it out for your consideration. Think about it. You know, I'm convinced that God knows when a person is either ready to go home with him or never will be. Okay? And so, in other words, there are some people who are ready to enter their promised rest, and God certainly knows that because he knows our hearts. And there are some people who need a wake-up call to get their attention. And sometimes, you know, the physical, you know, sickness or illness is what has accomplished that. I think of someone like Johnny Langford. You know, Johnny, you know, I didn't know him before all this happened, but, you know, those who did will tell you Johnny's surprised that Johnny would become Christian, not by the way of his life that he was living, but I don't know how many of you realize this, but Johnny almost died. In fact, the nurses in all the hospital were involved with the illness that he had. They gave up on him. He was that sick. But all the prayers and all that were offered on Johnny's behalf, God answered those prayers. And it, in my estimation, you see, perhaps the reason that God answered those prayers on his behalf was because he knew that that's what Johnny needed. You see, something that serious to bring him that close to death and get his attention. And it wasn't long after all of that, and Johnny recovered, that he became Christian. And so I think there are people like that in that category that God knows they need something to get their attention. They're you know, they haven't given their life to him yet, but they haven't turned their back on them. Which, again, there are some of those folks who are so hardened against God that God knows they'll never turn to him. So when I look at why does God answer some and not others, why does he heal some and not others, that in my mind, maybe this has something to do with it in terms of God's knowledge and what he knows about each person, their circumstance, and their situation. I'm not saying this is the answer, but I think it's at least in part the answer. Right?
I have two things, but you know, I don't know my mother's past. But my mother, I think my mother was tired too, because she'd been on dialysis for so long. And at 85 years old, she is a Christian. She knew there comes a time to, you know, together with God, do what he does. Allow him to do what he does. In 1997, on June the 12th, I'm not forgetting, I had lost all of the potassium in my, just about all of it in my blood. Had a heart attack. They had a heart attack in the emergency. I said he could die. no question about it. Even doctors came up and said, called me miracle man. I said, no, God's just not through with me yet. You know, I could have said that if it was God's will, not me. You know, but it wasn't up to them, and it wasn't up to me. It was up to the Lord. So I'm still here. So I don't ask why, I just thank God that He had mercy. That's why I pray for mercy a lot. Because when I do go, and I always say, there's one, I'm going to make it quick. I'll say in a prayer, what is God's time to call and mine to answer? I pray that He have a great community to love kingdom. I want that. I need that. And don't fool yourself and think you don't need the Lord. But our time is coming. It was my mother's time on the field. And my time hasn't come yet, but one day it's going to happen. And I'll be able to handle that because I'm a Christian. Because of God's grace.
You won't be in a wheelchair if you don't need
it. Oh, no, I won't be in it
either. You need it. Well, before we run out of time, let me just introduce this second statement or this idea that, you know, so often is thrown out, that we've already mentioned a little bit here, that we need to make sure we understand it's not a biblical concept. It's not true what the Bible teaches, and that is that the Bible doesn't indicate anywhere that if a person doesn't get well, it's because of lack of faith on their part. We mentioned a few moments ago. If you go back and you consider the story in John chapter 9 of the man born blind,
yeah.
Go over there and think about that story for just a minute, and really, in a sense, for the disciples of Jesus, it was a case study, okay, and theological discussion. You know, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, and he should be born blind? You know, they want to know theologically, you know, how do we correct this or fix this kind of a notion or idea or what have you? What's going on here with this man? To the Pharisees and to the man's parents, this whole situation with Jesus was just a problem. That's how we all look at it. But to Jesus, this man was part of His creation, and He was in need. Okay? If you go to the conversation that Jesus has with the man after the healing took place, and after the Pharisees had the chance to grill him on, you know, who did this and why and all the other issues that they brought up, Jesus encounters the man, and He says to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man says to Him, "Who is He, sir, that I may believe in Him?" And Jesus responds by saying, "You have seen Him, and it is He who is speaking to you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe."
Man,
you worship Jesus. Now, you have to understand that this man, at that point, had been fully healed, okay, before he even knew who Jesus was. So faith on his part was not an issue. Okay? His faith in Jesus didn't come until after he was healed. His healing was the result of God's power, not that man's faith. Okay? And so what we have to conclude from that is that sometimes people aren't healed, and it has absolutely nothing to do with their faith.
Amen.
Okay? It has everything to do with God's will. Alright, we're out of time. Next week we're gonna start looking at some biblical truths. Okay, if these are the wrong answers, what are the right answers to this dilemma that we face when it comes to healing and people suffering and so forth and so on? So I encourage you to be back next week, and we'll continue with that. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.